Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Bless you, sir.
I say, it's good to be here.
Yep. Bless his holy name.
Thank you for obeying the Lord, Trace.
Yep. Thank you, Lord.
That was a blessing to me.
Yep.
I've had this message, and I can tell you the date that I got it. I got this message wrote out, and the Lord gave me, I don't like taking notes, but he gave this to me, and it was January 31st, 2024. I wrote the note on what I was doing whenever the Lord gave me this message. I said, and I see you at Children's Hospital straight across from Vanderbilt. At 11:36 a.m., waiting on test results on my daughter, trying to figure her oxygen levels out and trying to make sure no infection was inside of her. And the Lord gave me this message, and I had never been so close to God in my life till that day. And I remember sitting there praying with everything I had in me, wanting to know what the answer was, worried to death. But the message he's given me, if you can put a title on it, David will tomorrow, but following him pays off. That's what the message
yep.
is. If you got your Bibles right. And you want to turn to Luke chapter number 5,
Amen.
We're going to read some scripture here, and we're going to bounce around all over the place. I had all day to write this message of what the Lord gave me, so y'all going to have to bear with me. But it was amazing sitting there, and they had my daughter inside this little bassinet type deal, I guess you could call it, and they had a glass cover over her. And wasn't allowed to touch her unless you put your hand in the side, and they had oxygen run to her, and IV in her head, and everything else going on, a feeding tube running down and through her, just trying to figure out what the problem was. And the Lord give me this. Verse 27, we're going to read. After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me.
Yeah.
Verse 28, and he left all, rose up, and followed him. You may be seated. You see, that's what happened to me one day. This is where you got to start at in order to know that following
right.
Jesus pays off. Is that he's got to ask you to follow him. You see, as a five-year-old boy, the Lord asked me to follow him one day, Paul, and I'm glad that I said yes. Best decision I ever made in my life. But it took January 31st of 2024 for me to really set in how thankful I was that I said yes to that decision.
That's right.
You see, first thing is he has to ask you. You can't ask yourself that question.
That's right.
He has to ask you whether you're ready to follow him. If you've got your Bibles and you want to, we're going to flip around all over the place. And Isaiah chapter 53.
Yeah.
I just want you to know why you can follow him to begin with. Verse number 4, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Right.
Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
Right.
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Amen.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
Jesus.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Thank you, Lord.
And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray.
That's right.
We have turned everyone to his own way.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And the Lord hath laid on him
Amen.
The iniquity of all of us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth.
Thank you, Jesus.
He was brought as a lamb to
Thank
the slaughter,
Lord.
And as a sheep before her shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land
right.
of the living for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit out of his in his mouth.
Yeah.
Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him.
Oh,
Lord. Oh, yeah. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. But you know that that right there is the reason why he can call you.
Yeah.
No other man on this world that has ever walked this world has ever went through that before.
Amen.
You see, Trace, you sung that song right there that somebody touched you.
Yeah.
He touched me because he did all that right there.
That's
and without
right.
him doing
Amen.
Any of that,
Amen.
And without the Father letting him do that for me, it would have been impossible. You ain't got a flip here, but I just want to read some more. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." You see, after this is all a long process that you got to go through, and I've been going through it for 15 years now. Thanks be to God for it. But you see, he had to call me first in order for me to realize the greatness and the magnitude of his greatness through my life. But that day, his five-year-old boy called me. Rescued me, told me everything
Amen.
He had ever done before.
Yeah.
Like Isaiah chapter 53 said, he told me everything that he had done for me before. But then he told me, follow me and I'll show you and I'll use you.
Amen.
You see, I ain't nobody in nobody's eyes either. But it's time that you dig a little deeper than you ever have before through all
right.
this that we've had
right.
going on recently, learned about the prophecy and everything else of the Lord coming back. I think it's time that we dig a little deeper.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all are going to have to bear with me. I got 10
Bless
points.
You,
but in Ezekiel chapter 47, just going to read a few verses, and y'all understand the gist of this. Everybody's heard this and everything else, but then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, the water, and there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward and measured 1,000 cubits, 1,500 feet, if anybody's wondering. And he brought me through the waters. And the waters were to the ankles. And you can read on down through this. I'm a terrible reader, but just bear with me. See, you read on down through this right here, and it gets all the way up to where that he's got to swim. But it's a process that we get to swim.
Right.
See, through everything that we've learned in this past couple of weeks, and everybody knew that the Lord's coming back, I think it's time that we start swimming a little bit more.
Yep. Yeah.
You see, yes, everybody can say the Lord's done this for me, the Lord's done that for me, but I want to do something in him to return the favor.
Amen.
See, no, Larry, I'll never do that, ever. I'll never return the favor the way it did me, but I want to.
That's right.
See, I want to be able to get out there
That's
and swim
right.
a little bit. I remember whenever my dad was teaching me how to swim, I remember exactly what he did. He picked me up and threw me in. I'm glad that the Lord didn't do me that way. But now I'm at the point where I want to swim a little bit.
Amen.
See, my dad Amen. Was standing down there at Myrtle Beach next to a pool, and he said, "Son, you want to swim?" And I said, "Yeah." And he just threw me right in. And I had to figure out how to swim, or else I was going to drown. But the Lord, He eased me into it. If you read right there, He takes him to the ankles, to the knees, to the hips, the loins, and then He just lets him swim.
Yeah.
He built him up. Now, you know, He's built you up through the steps already.
Amen.
You see, now you can swim. You know how, whether you want to admit it or not.
Yeah.
But some of us are too afraid to swim.
Come on.
If you read Mark chapter 6, you know about the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, how He fed the 5,000, and had plenty to spare.
That's right.
Work for Him, work, He'll work for you.
Amen.
See, I ain't nobody, like I said already, but the Lord called me to preach, don't me.
Yep.
I ain't no good at it, but I try my best whenever He lets me.
Amen.
You see how it works for Him for almost 5 years now. Come August, it was 6.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord called me to preach. But because of them 5 years, how it works for Him. He worked for me that day in my senior. You can say whatever you want, Sharon. The Lord's going to work for you through more. Anybody else got anything going on? The Lord's going to work for you, but you got to remember, you got to do something for Him too.
Yep, that's Lord.
You see, everybody comes in here and talks about everything the Lord's done. And they praise to Him for doing it. But ain't nobody in here does nothing to deserve any bit of what He does for us.
Amen.
I think as a Christian body, it's how much we strive to earn it.
Right.
You see, I go to the work every single day, and I got to earn my wages.
That's right.
See, my papa, he was telling this story, and he said that he worked for this old farmer, and he said every day he'd go out there, he'd give him a nickel. He said that for a whole day's work, he'd give him a nickel whenever he was a 14-year-old boy. He said that was good money back then. He said for a whole day, he'd give me a nickel. He said, but the man would tell me at the end of the day, he'd ask me a question, did you earn your wages today? And whether or not I answered him was whether I got paid or not. If I told him, oh, I didn't get it. See, I'm glad that the Lord didn't do that with me. See, on January 31st, with everything running inside of Hartford Head and everything else, I'm glad He didn't say, son, did you earn your wages from me today? Because I didn't say, no, Lord. Even though He didn't know, she'd probably still been sitting there.
Lord help.
I'm thankful that I didn't have to earn my wages.
That's right, grace.
You see, because never will I ever be able to say that I've earned my wages. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory.
Yeah.
By Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Don't say by Tommy Boring or anybody else there.
Right.
See, because that day I done texted everybody on there. I remember I looked at my phone earlier and was looking back on that day. I remember texting you that morning saying, please pray for Walker.
Yeah.
They got everything on it. I don't know what's going on. I texted them all that night and texted them again that morning.
Yeah.
I was going crazy. Didn't know what to do. It felt useless sitting there like that. But you know, I sent everybody a message. That Danny Buchanan called me 3 times a day. He wanted to pray with me. We prayed over phone. I had Jeff Franklin call me and pray with me. I had all these things going on.
Yeah.
But not a single one of them people did anything for me that day.
Right.
I'm thankful for them hitting their knees.
Yep.
But they didn't do it.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's what the book said right there.
Amen.
In Philippians, it said, by Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
See, there wasn't nobody else. My dad was at home sick, praying, worrying, sickless. My mom was there every hour of the day. My wife barely got to see Harper by then. Didn't know what to do. I was worried to death.
Yeah.
And the Lord, He started giving me this, and I beat myself up over the head. Just remember, it's all good.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, I was torn apart reading this, whenever He was giving me this, knowing that I had something more to do.
Yeah. Amen.
But yet, it was paying off work for Him. See, my wages have been paid more than what I actually work for. See, I go to work and don't make much there at all, but whenever I'm working there, I feel like I goof around sometimes and say, man, they don't pay me enough to do this. You know, and I bet that's the way the Lord looks at me. I pay you too much to not do anything.
God help. Overpaid.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
See, I didn't deserve that day whenever I was 5 years old or no other blessing.
That's right.
No. I don't deserve the future. I don't deserve of it. And yet he looked at me and said, son, don't worry about you not doing anything, being lazy, sitting on the pew all the time, and not doing anything I've asked you to do. So I'll take care of this one too.
Great.
Take care of everything that I've ever needed. What the book said.
Amen.
Let me read it one more time. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I'll carry on. In Psalms chapter number 37, verse 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord,
that's right,
and he shall give thee the desire of thy heart.
Yeah.
That day, that was the desire of my heart. Was to hold my daughter.
Yeah.
You see, I got to hold her to feed her, but they told me as soon as I get done feeding her, put her back up. After they got that feed tube out, because they was wanting everything to be okay. Never want me to kink her oxygen line or anything else running to her. And that was terrible, Bert. She was fresh. I wanted to hold her.
Yeah.
My wife, I said, hold her for about 5 minutes as soon as she was first born. And didn't get to see her for a day, just about. I know she worried sick. I was sitting there the whole time with her, worried to death. But yeah, God, knew the desire of my heart.
Right.
Yes, God, that was the desire of my heart.
Yeah.
I wanted to hold her. Wanted to love her like I've never loved anything before. But I couldn't do such a thing because the doctor said no. But she said he knew the desire of my heart. Later on this day, by the way, they took everything off of her.
Yeah, right.
Got to hold her. My cousins come up to the hospital, held her, my mom, everybody. They did all these things. But I want to read one more. This is the truth. Everybody knows Psalms 23. Everybody. And I just want to read the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Amen.
Yep.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Amen.
I'm unworthy to be here.
Yep,
but because of everything that he's done for me,
amen,
I'm well here,
amen,
forever.
Amen.
You see, I know that right there is talking about the house. It ain't talking about this building here. It's about my heart. I've always wanted to dwell in that place in my heart where I knew that he took care of me. Where that I wanted to be as close to him as I've ever been. On January 31st, I've never been so close to God in my life. There's a baby next door to us, and the dad heard me in there praying. And he come around there and knocked on the door, and I didn't even hear him. I was praying, it was me, God. He opened the door and just come on right on in while I was praying. I got done. I turned around and said, hey, buddy. He said, you care to come do that over here?
Yeah.
I said, sure will.
Amen.
Oh, well, he said, this baby, he said, I adopted this baby. I said, okay, that's good. I said, I'm glad people do that. And he said, this baby would never be able to walk and never be able to talk. And got so many drugs running through it right now. And he said, and it's born 2 months early. He said, I need you to come pray with it. He said, I don't know why, but the Lord told me you're a man of God. I need you to pray with this baby. I got over here and started praying. Before I knew it, my doctor walked in there, and his nurse walked in there with her, and all these other people started coming in the room. As I was praying, I didn't know they were there to begin with. And I started praying over this baby. Whenever I turned around, there was 20-some people inside that little room, and it's about as big as the bathrooms in the back of the church. Crowded around, gotten claustrophobic, everybody being in there. But today we were leaving. The doctor told us, while I was praying, the nurse came in there and was trying to get me, told me they was taking everything off my daughter too, also. But while we was walking out, I got everything, the doctor bag and stuff, and started heading to the car, and all the stuff that we took from the hospital. And I loaded the double bags full of that stuff and went on about it. We was walking out, and that dad was walking, and he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Put this stuff in the car, and don't let us go home, buddy." He said, "Well, hand me that bag. I want to walk with you." I said, "All right." We got out there in my truck and put all that stuff in the back seat and in the bed and everything else. And he said, "Can we pray one more time, just me and you, before you leave?" I said, "Yes, sir, we sure can." And we got down to the last stop right there inside that parking garage and prayed and prayed and prayed. And we was probably there 20 minutes. And we got walking back up. He said, "Hang on a minute, the doctor's calling me. I hope something ain't wrong. Start praying, buddy." He answered his phone, and he started shouting. "So what's wrong?" He said, "They're going to let us go home tomorrow." He said, "Buddy," he said, "I ain't ever seen the Lord work so big in somebody's life right now." He said, "But they told that doctor, they told us," he said, "a month ago, this baby would be here till it was 2 years old.
Yeah.
We'll never be able to leave till it was 2 years old. He said, "They're going to let us leave tomorrow."
Praise God.
I said, "All right." I got his phone number. I still talk to him.
Amen.
The baby's at home, crying like normal, eating out of a bottle, doing everything that they said that it wouldn't ever do. They said it had to be on a feeding tube for the rest of his life. They said they pulled that stuff out and he's feeding with a box.
Praise God.
That's God.
That's God.
Everybody doesn't know that's God.
Amen.
See, that day I walked in there and saw that baby. She was the color of these seats right here. She wasn't but about that big. And I ain't kidding, you can hold her in both of your hands, put them like that, and she was that big.
Yeah.
Baby didn't cry and didn't make a single noise, didn't even have its eyes open. Couldn't open them. But whenever God came in that room that day, things for that baby started to turn the same as the way it did horses.
Thank you, Lord.
Seeing that doctor, we got up there and
amen.
I just went on into his room and had his packing everything up, talking to him. And I said, he said, "Thank you for everything you've done." I said, "Not me." That doctor walked in there and said, "Sir," he said, "you're going to have to explain something to me." And I said, "What's that?" And that dad said, "His name's Kenneth." He said, "What is it?" He said, "Al, is your daughter both from doing terrible 3 days ago to being released tomorrow?" He said, "I've never seen this in my life." He said, "I've worked here 34 years. Never have I seen the Lord do something. What you're saying is the Lord do something like this." I started talking to that doctor and I said, "He done it for me."
Yeah.
He said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "I'm born dead." I said, "Dead as a door, they have blue as can be." I said, "The Lord," I said, "my dad and mom started praying, and the Lord took care of me." I said, "But then he did it again whenever I was 5 years old. I was dying, didn't have another way out, and he did it for me then."
Yeah.
He said, "You was dying at 5 years old, and the Lord saved me again?" I said, "Oh, he did the real saving then, buddy."
Yeah.
I said, "You said he was a 5-year-old boy. I was doomed for hell."
Yep.
That doctor's eyes got a big round and a half dollar, didn't know what to think. I said, "I was doomed for hell as a 5-year-old boy. The devil had done come in and started setting in on me, and then conviction come in on top of him."
Yep.
And I knew for sure then it was real. He said, "Larry, the Lord's got to show me what the pits of hell was going to look like all around me. Flames as a 5-year-old boy. I'm not scared of that. The hell was scared out of me, I promise." You see, I went through that for so long and everything going on. I went through it for a month and went through conviction and just little pieces. It wasn't a full thing like I got that Friday night and I went home with it. That Friday night, whenever the Lord went home, went in there and shook my daddy and woke him up. And he didn't knock you out if you woke him up. You had to be careful. But that night he didn't. I shook him to death and I said, Dad. He woke up and looked over. He said, "What is it?" My mom and them woke up by then. They said, "What's going on?" I said, "I'm going to die and go to hell." I said, "I'm scared to death." Dad said, "Well, son, that's between you and God." I remember now, 12-year-old boy, I thought my dad, my hero, would take care of all my problems. But that day he told me, straight up, it's been you and God, son. I remember walking out of that bedroom and hearing my mama start crying. Rolled over and said, Greg, we gotta pray. We gotta pray now, Greg, we gotta pray. I'm thankful that she did. Because that Saturday night, I sat there at my mom and daddy's door that Friday night, laid up against the door, bawling my eyes, and I was crossed my arms on my honey and sitting there shaking like a leaf. And I remember my mama saying, Lord, just give him till tomorrow night. Please, just give him till tomorrow night. I didn't know what to say. I'd never spoken to the Lord before. Yeah. But at night, I come up there and I asked the Lord to save me. I remember just a little piece of what I said. Come up here and said, I want to know who you are. That's how I started it. And I said, I don't want to go to hell either. That's the only thing I said. And he said, right there, that's what I told that doctor. And he said, I've never heard something like this. He said, did you not get baptized or anything? And I said, at a later date, buddy.
Yeah.
I said, that wasn't my salvation.
Right.
That man looked at me, at dad and Kenny, he said, that same thing happened to me as a 14-year-old boy, and he got in to give his testimony to the doctor. And he said, I don't believe in all this. He said, you got to be baptized to be saved. And Kenny looked at him and said, I've never been baptized before in my life. He said, but I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
The doctor started getting serious with him.
Amen.
And Kenny started explaining everything going on with the baby. The doctor's tried steering it off to a different direction, talking about the baby. And Kenny said, well, that's God's saving me too.
Yeah.
Started going on and on about everything the Lord had done for him. His wife wasn't ever supposed to have children. And after they had done filed for adoption, now she's pregnant.
Yeah.
He figured that out 3 days ago. But yet, that's what the Lord does.
Yeah,
he takes care of us.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure does.
He's good.
Got one more note, and then I'm going to wrap up. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, it says, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of the fever. Verse 15 says, this is what happened with us, by the way. And he touched her hand and ministered unto them.
Yeah, right.
Just, you know, she got healed.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
See, that same thing happened to me. That day, on January 31st, 2024, the Lord come in there and touched Harper's hand. Touched my wife's hand. Through everything.
Yep.
And she's here.
Yep. Amen.
Been here ever since.
Thank God.
Except for whenever we were sick. She's been here every service. That's the way she's going to stay. Because all of him pays off. And I'm going to teach her that.
Yep.
And this church is going to teach her
that's
that
right.
Throughout the years.
That's right.
That's what taught me the same thing, Paul. The church teaches me that works within the Lord pays off.
Yep, that's right.
See, after all this, and I've read and I've told you the scripture backs every bit of it.
Yeah.
You see, working for him pays off.
Amen.
See, Bernard, there ain't nothing in the world that I could ever do. Ever. There's like mercy and grace. But
that's right.
Every morning, whenever I wake up, and the mercy and grace is there.
Yep.
Whenever I lay my head down tonight, his mercy and grace is there.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Know, there's been time before I didn't have a dime in my name. The Lord built a house. Didn't have nothing. The Lord built my house. Time where I couldn't pay the bills, but the bills got paid. The fridge and everything was stock funds old. That's mercy and grace.
Amen. Yep.
Thank you for asking right now. It's mercy and grace. Every
Amen.
Day of your life.
Amen.
Yeah, there's times where we wake up and we say, well, he's here again. And just think, oh, that's it. There's nothing in there and I'm thinking nothing of it.
Amen.
But on that day, he started breaking me down like a 12-beard shotgun. Beat me up one side and down the other with it. And told me, son, I'm here for you. But You gotta do something for me too. See, that day, whenever I started getting this message, he started explaining to me that I don't do enough for him and I'm hard to do that. But he started telling me I never did enough for him and I never will. And throughout all these things, Vicki, if you want to go ahead and come up to the piano, do whatever needs to be done for a song. But you see, there was a point where I thought that I was really gung-ho. I was doing everything that he wanted me to do.
Right.
And I thought, I'm doing everything. I was preaching left and right. I was giving my testimony left and right. But you know what I figured out? Still wasn't enough. You see, there's times where throughout everything that happened, apparently it was a super quick delivery and everything else. The labor was perfect. Everything. But as soon as she come out, Abby held her and my mom handed her to me. They told me to take my shirt off and do skin to skin, so I did it. And I was holding her there. I never felt such peace and contentment in my heart. And the Lord said, this is what happens every time you work for me. He said, I hold you up right there. And you're so peaceful whenever you do it. See, I held her there for about 5 minutes, and I knew the feeling of whenever they ripped her away from me. They come up there, and they said, we got to get her out of here. We're going to take her over here and get her washed up and everything. Well, they took her over there, and NICU was doing all this other stuff to her. And we didn't see her the rest of the day. They come in there and said, we had to take her to Children's Hospital because all this other stuff was going on. And I felt so distant from something I just come to love like I've never loved before. And I got to praying, and the Lord said, whenever you run and you don't do what I ask you to do, that's how I feel. And you know what I told myself that day? I said, Lord, I won't ever do that no more. And you know what I found out? I still do it. I do it every day. But yet he told me, he said, just let me hold you a little while. And then go do what I've told you to do.
Right. That's right.
You see, I've been working for him, I guess you could say. I ain't like some of y'all been working for him for 40, 50 years. Not only, but been working for him for 15 years. As a 5-year-old boy, to now. But the past 5 years, he's called me to preach. I'll be honest with you, I ain't done it right, and I ain't ever going to do it right. I just try my best. That's what he asked me to do. But you see, there's things going throughout all this where mercy and grace just keep showing up and showing up and showing up.
Amen.
Every single day.
Yeah.
And yet that's why whenever Trace started singing that song, somebody touched me and I could raise my hand. I could let tears run down my face sitting right here. Because it wasn't just as a 5-year-old boy that he touched me. I could have stood up every single day of the week.
Amen.
Because he touched me every single day. And it continues to.
I forgot what day it was on.
But I'll tell you this. Just in 15 years that I've been doing what, working for him a little bit, not much, but a little bit, I found out that it never fails to pay it off.
That's right.
My wages are so much greater than the work effort that I put
That's
in.
That's right. Amen.
And he really showed me that day up there in the ICU. He broke me down and I was up here for 2 days, sitting there on my knees, weeping, bawling like a baby, and everything else. But you know, he showed me how much my wages really were that I'd never seen before. I think it's time at the church that we remember how much our wages are and start trying to work to earn them wages instead of getting them for free. Because I get them all for free whether I work or not. He takes care of me because I'm his. But I feel like as good people that we are, we'll try to be, some of us. I try to earn my wages at my job. I try to work to earn my keep, is what they used to call it. And in here, I believe everybody that goes and works a good job, you try to earn your wages unless you just ain't got to. I think it's ought to be the same way here. We come in here and we sit here and don't do nothing. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night,
yeah.
Monday night prayer meeting.
Yep.
Don't go, because we'll get paid for it anyway. Because we know what our benefit plan is. But from now on, from that day on, I've told myself I'm going to do as much as I can to earn my keep.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, they don't do it no more because you've got lazy people everywhere you work. But nowadays, for back then, whenever you'd work, you had to earn your keep. If not, you got fired. That was the way it was. Just thank God for the Lord did that in the church. I believe that this church be empty. Worse than what it is. Because it's time that we start working more.
Amen.
See, the Lord does all this for us and don't ask for much in return. The half of us don't even give him the little bit that he wants. See, the Bible tells us that he wants us to praise him.
Yeah.
That's what we got coming here to do. But half the time we come in here and sit on fucking all on the wall. And our wages, right, and our benefit plan at work, I got a terrible insurance policy. Terrible. But the insurance policy I have through Christ, it's the best insurance policy there ever been.
Yeah.
You see, save me from hell, give me life insurance through that. Give me a 401k, whatever I do down here, he'll put crowns up there for me. Lay my treasures up yonder. I got the best thing that there ever could be. Whenever I need to go, whenever I got a health problem, that's fine. Take it up here for free.
Yeah.
Ain't gonna pay a dime for it. I'm just saying, I know it sounds stupid and everything else, but it's true. Best insurance and the best benefit plan you could ever have.
Amen.
Not working for the government. And it's terrible. But yet, we come in here and we forget about our benefit plan. We forget about their wages that we keep getting paid every single day. And we just get in a routine of coming in here. I think it's time that we start earning a little bit. See, there's souls over here this morning.
That's right. Work to do.
Work don't know a lick about anything that we talked about in Ottawa this morning. Don't know nothing about it. And yet half of them, they got paid their wages this morning. They ain't here tonight, and they won't be here Wednesday night. It's normal. But yet the ones that the faithful few that we are, I think it's time that we start digging in and putting in some overtime. Getting our wages. Because there's souls that are here every single service.
That's right.
They need to get right with the Lord and need to get saved. And this morning there was a whole slew of them that needed the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And yet it's time that I myself start putting in some overtime hours on my knees. Yeah, I know a lot of y'all already know this. Sorry, I'm trying. But it's a baby who comes in and stays up all the hours of the night and everything else. She don't do that mostly. And stay up all day and scream all day. You ain't got much time to do nothing. Well, I haven't done either. But she ain't got no time to do anything. You know, ever since that day, I wake up in the morning and I start praying and get my day going. I always pray for my wife because she needs it to take care of me.
Yeah.
But yet that day, my prayer started changing. I said, Lord, let my wife do what she needs to do. Show my daughter what to do. And you see, I think that's what the church is. As the mother of church, that's what we are. We're the bride. Yeah. We're going to bring children in and birth them. That's what mother does. And yet there's a lot of pain goes into this process of doing labor. And don't you know, in order to work, your hands are going to have to get dirty. Your knees are going to get bloodied up from spending time in your prayer closet. You're going to get so angry and so frustrated because you keep working so hard and nothing ever happens. But that one day that it does happen, you'll remember all them times that you spent on your knees. Bloodied up hands from working so hard and your knees scuffed up from praying and doing everything you got, your paper cuts on your fingers from flipping through your Bible. All of them things start paying off that day. And the day where he starts paying you wages whenever you didn't know that you was going to get paid that day. See, these things are small to most everybody else. They were huge to me that day.
Yeah, right.
never used to me that day. It was a 5-year-old boy whenever he said, follow me.
That's right.
I think it's time that we start following him. Get up, be fishers and men, and start swimming. A lot of it's like coming in here and getting in the kiddie pool.
Amen.
Maybe the swimming pool is right next to it.
Amen.